Today we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. 1 John chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 10. John said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." God gives us testimony of himself. God gives us testimony or witness of his Son, Jesus Christ. God gives us testimony or witness to his Word, the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 14, the Bible says that God did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God bears witness of himself every day in the creation. Acts 14, verse 17. God also has testified of his Son in many different ways. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that the miracles that he did bore witness of who he was. John 10, verse 25 is where Jesus said, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So Jesus was not without witness. Jesus was not without testimony. God testified as to who Jesus was through these miracles and other ways as well. And God also bore witness to and left testimony of the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And God verified that. God bore witness to that. And there are proofs inside of the Bible itself of the fact that the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God. So God gives us this testimony. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, John tells us about the testimony God gave about Jesus, his Son. In verse 8, he said that there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bore witness and continues to bear witness through the Bible that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said in John 15, verse 26 to his disciples that when the Holy Spirit was come, he shall testify of me. Now here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 8, John, writing years later, says that the Spirit was bearing witness to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. So he says the Spirit bears witness, the water bears witness, and that refers to Jesus' baptism in the waters of the Jordan River. Because when he was baptized, the Spirit descended upon him, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." And then he says that the blood bears witness. That is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood and he fulfilled all of those Old Testament types and prophecies, proving that he indeed is the Son of God. Now notice again in verse 9, before we look at this section that we're studying today, remember that in verse 9, that John says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. We accept many things from human testimony without any question whatsoever. But John says that God's testimony through these evidences is far, far greater. And so if we accept what men say, then we certainly ought to accept what God has said concerning his Son. Now, let's go to verse 10 where we began today. John says, "He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself." He's already told us what the witness is or what the testimony is in this context. That is the Spirit and the water and the blood. So when he says in verse 10 that he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself, he doesn't mean that just because a person feels it in his heart, that that makes it true. There are people that believe all kinds of things in their heart that are not true. People believe in false gods. People believe in false religions, and they feel in their heart that those things are so. But that doesn't make it true, does it? John doesn't mean that just because a person wants something to be true, then it must be true. He doesn't mean that we as Christians feel it in our hearts, and we want to believe it so badly that that somehow makes it true. No, the evidence and the assurance of the facts and the truthfulness of Christianity are on a much more firm foundation. The witness that John is talking about is the testimony or the witness that he just mentioned in verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And what he means is this: the person who accepts this proof has the assurance and the confidence in his heart. So in verse 10, John said that he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself, but he says, on the other hand, he that believes not God has made him a liar because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. It's even more serious. If a man does not believe what God said about his Son, Jesus Christ, John said, that person has made God out to be a liar. That's how grave this is. And what could be more serious than that? When a person says, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus or the Bible, then he's calling God a liar, according to what John says here. Why? Because God said that Jesus is his Son. He said that the Scriptures are from him, and he proved both of these things in many ways. What more could God do to prove that Jesus is his Son and that the Bible is his Word? Jesus performed all these miracles. There were many eyewitnesses that tell us that Jesus Christ did these things. Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies of the Old Testament, many of which were written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, and even secular writers in the first century who did not believe in Jesus agree that Jesus was crucified. He was executed by Pontius Pilate. The Bible has so much evidence that it is from God. The prophecies, the scientific foreknowledge, the unity of the Bible, and many other proofs testify that the Bible is the Word of God. And what John is saying here about the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and God has shown us that Jesus is his Son is that when a man says, I don't believe that, he is calling God a liar. That is how serious this is. Now notice again, how many times John in this book uses the word liar? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, he said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, John says, he that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. Then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, he said, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? And then we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he says that a man that does not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son has made God out to be a liar. John was not being unloving when he wrote this. He wrote more about love than anybody else. He was not being harsh. He was not being unfeeling by saying that a man is a liar when he rejects Jesus Christ and the testimony that God gave of his Son. John was simply stating a fact. Let's move on now to verses 11, 12, and 13, and we want to notice this question. What does John mean that Christians have eternal life? Look at verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Then look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What does this mean? We have to take these verses of Scripture in context. And we have to take all that the Bible says on this question and not simply take one or two verses without considering the context of the rest of the Bible. For instance, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life." Now that passage, which was written before the ones that we just read in 1 John chapter 5, says that eternal life is the promise that God has promised us. So in that way, in that sense, we have eternal life. Remember also that Titus 1, verse 2 says that Paul wrote, quote, "in hope of eternal life." Notice the wording, "in hope of eternal life." Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. But Paul said something in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25 that we need to keep in mind. And that is, Paul said that you don't hope for something that you already have. Listen to Romans 8, verse 24. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That is, hope that you experience is not hope. For what a man sees," and that doesn't just mean to see with your eyes, it means to have it, it means to experience it. Paul goes on to say, "For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Paul said, if you already have something, you don't hope for it. But if you hope for something, that means that you don't already literally have it. So Paul said that he wrote in hope of eternal life, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. John said that eternal life is the promise of God. So what this means then is that we have eternal life as Christians, but what that means is that we have eternal life in promise. We have eternal life in prospect. This passage and this book of 1 John does not teach the idea of the impossibility of apostasy. It does not teach the doctrine of once saved, always saved. What it does teach is that a Christian at a given point in time can know whether he's saved or lost. It does not mean that a person can just live any way he wants to and sin and rebel against God and still say that he's saved. The Bible teaches in the book of 1 John that we can know of our relationship to God. Remember that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And if you look at the word "know" throughout the book of 1 John, you're going to find that several times John assures Christians then and Christians today that they can know of their state before God. And a great complementary verse to this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, where Peter said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall."